From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgates. Representing KGYR and its stakeholders. We are the Forum for the Fans. The Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans. This is the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. I'm going to do the rest of the roster. Knicks training camp is around. It's pretty much here. It actually started yesterday. BleedBlueShow.com is our website. Audio archive episodes can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher apps. We're going to get to the rest of the players that we have not covered. And then we're going to all backtrack on a lot of things as far as any other players that we want to discuss with all the stakeholders on the line as we bring them on. Real quick, before we get into everything else, I want everybody to check out our updated website, BleedBlueShow.com. You can stream the episodes right there from the website. Also, you could download it to your smartphone, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, your Stitcher, so on and so forth. Talking New York Knicks basketball. We got a preseason game starting next week as well. And don't forget, as the regular season starts, if the Knicks games fall on a Wednesday, the games are immediately done. The discussion on Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum immediately after each Knicks game. If the Knicks don't play on a Wednesday, the games, of course, you know, the show still resume at 9 o'clock. Let's bring on the stakeholders and bring on Av a little bit later. Let's go to roll call time. Say hello to everybody real quick. Just say hello to the audience. We bring on everybody real quick. Let's go with Dominic. What's going on? How's everything? Just roll call time. Say hello. How's everything, Dom?
Good evening, Steve. Good evening, everybody.
All right. Shout out to Dom. Thank you very much. Let's go, Night Chandler 7. That'd be Chandler. I'll bring him on. Just a quick roll call time. Chandler, say hello to the people.
What's up, everybody?
All right. Shout out to Chandler's checking in with us. Let's go out there to Mr. Live. He's with us here talking Knicks basketball. Mr. Live, hello. Say hello to the peoples.
Yeah, what's good, everybody? You know what I'm saying? What's up, Nick Dowhard? What's good, y'all?
All right, and then also we'll bring on, I believe this is Jordan. Jordan, say hello to the people. Say hello.
Hey, everybody, it's me. I'm Jordan. Hey. Also, I'm Steve. FYI, Lou said he'll be here at 9:30.
All right, that's fine. Whatever. Thank you. Yeah. Shout outs to Jordan. Shout outs to Mr. Live, Chandler, Dominic. Let's start off with you. We have not gotten to Vonleh. Isaiah Hicks, if you want to even mention Kristaps Porzingis and Kadeem Allen, those are the only Knicks we have not discussed. Now, we could go any direction you would want. If you want to discuss those guys, you're more than welcome to. Fizdale has been really vocal with the press as far as training camp. And we don't really want to – we don't buy the lip service stuff. But we got preseason starting next week. Dom, any thoughts with that? And then we'll go to Chandler, Mr. Live, and then Jordan, so on and so forth.
Well, I think we sort of touched on Vonleh. I mean, he's one of those guys that had, you know, a lot of fanfare when he came into the league. As of now, he really hasn't lived up to it. I mean, you know, he's still 23 years old, Steve. I mean, he'll at least give the Knicks – again, we talked about this last week. The log jam at certain positions with the Knicks. You know, how much time is he going to get? Again, as me and Chandler would say, Fizdale talks a game, but now it's time to see what we're going to do with the talk. But again, he's one of those guys that's stuck in that position where how much run is he really going to get? I mean, again, I watched him for the short stint. He was here in Charlotte. Or in North Carolina. It didn't last long. And then he went to Portland. He had a couple of good minutes. But, again, my only problem, Steve, with him and even the guys we discussed last week, you know, all of these, you know, power forwards / small forwards / centers, it seems like we got so many of them. And like we even said last week, even minus Noah. I mean, we got a real log jam when Porzingis comes back. You know, Porzingis, Vonleh, Cornet, Kanter. I don't know about Hicks. We could talk about him. Mario. It's a log jam there. Between that and the the shooting guard, it's going to be a breakdown of minutes. And then, again, with that comes what? Are you going to get any kind of cohesion just trying to get guys minutes? I can see getting the minutes to see where they'll fit in. I would think preseason would be for that. So how do you get some kind of cohesion if you're trying to run four or five guys a night at one, two positions? That's tough. Hicks, you know how I feel about him. He's a UNC kid. Maybe he just ain't panning out, guys. And I always go back to the same thing. I say, Steve, we're not at practice. We're not at the meetings. We don't know where his head is. He's had quite a few good games in the G League. Did they not use him right? But now you look at that and look at the position again. Here goes that logjam. I mean, I don't want to beat a dead horse with that, Steve. I think we kind of discussed that last week. And that's not even counting Porzingis and Noah. It's just a bad logjam for these guys. I kind of feel for them because what kind of runner they getting? I forgot about Robinson. You know, we got him. So I don't know what they're going to do. I wish Vonleh the best. I mean, he was another guy, you know, sort of highly touted coming in the league. Let's see if he even gets some run. Are the Knicks using these guys as pieces to parlay for something else down the road? Could be. You know, we know we're not spending a lot of money on these guys. That's the one good thing. But their usage level will be, I don't know, Steve. I don't really have an answer for that. I guess we'll find out really soon.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. Let's go to Chandler. What's your thoughts on the rest of the roster, if anybody you want to talk about as well? We got Vonleh, Isaiah Hicks, Kadeem Allen. Even if you were throwing a little bit of Baker into the mix. Chen, what's your thoughts? And then we go to Mr. Lott.
I'm tired of talking about projects. I mean, Vonleh's another project. And while Don was talking, it occurred to me, we got a lot of guys who may not be here next year. A lot. You talking, what, 5-6 guys that may not be here next year, but we're talking about them in terms of will they play a significant role this year? But we're supposed to be building a foundation. But you're looking at turning over almost a third of the roster. Because I don't see Vonleh. I don't see him getting a lot of minutes. I don't see Hicks. I don't see Hicks making a team. For whatever reason, maybe it's just some guys are 4A players. Maybe he's good in the G League, but he can't just get over the hump here. I don't know. I like Hicks, but, you know, when he's, you know, he hasn't really been gotten an opportunity. And again, like Dom said, it could be that he's not showing something in practice. Maybe they just don't believe in him. That happens sometimes where a team just doesn't believe you can do it, so they don't ever give you the opportunity. But we got a lot of guys that play the same position that may not be here, and it's bothering the heck out of me because it's a whole lot of projects, man, that if they don't pan out, will be gone. So what was the point in bringing them in? That's I don't get it. But Vonleh, I'm not – like I'm saying, I don't see where he fits, man. I really don't see where he fits. I don't see where he fits. He's what, the fourth forward at this stage of the game? He's the fourth forward. When's he going to play? What are we going to have, three squads? We got 3-5, you literally talking about you don't a first unit, a second unit, and a third unit at this stage of the game. So how much is he going to play? How much can he impact the team? I don't know, man. It's too many projects for me.
All right, cool. Thank you very much. Mr. Lott, what's your thoughts on the rest of the players and any other players you would like to discuss as well? And then we'll go to Jordan.
Again, man, the one that's turned out to be my favorite is Mitchell Robinson, man. I think Scott's the limit for that brother. I'm hoping he's, conditioned right and, you know, I would love to see him inside those practices. That being said, I think politics and situations is gonna dictate who play and don't. You know, meaning you got Frank, who I don't think deserves the type of favoritism he's getting. You know, especially when you got a cat like Tier coming in and doing what he's doing right off the bat. Like the brothers just said, there's a log jam at almost every spot. where the uncertainty is ridiculous. So, again, politics. You got to play Cantor because he's making $17 million, and you want to use him for any trade situation that pop up. You just signed Cornette, you know, and you're giving him a million some change to do what? I'm not sure. You know, everybody touched on Vonleh, and what is he supposed to be? Is he supposed to be, you know, is he supposed to spell KP, you know, when and if he comes back? You know, it's kind of crazy. I don't see, you know, again, we all worried about the same thing. It's how are you going to audition these brothers with the amount of minutes that's available? So, again, I think Knox is going to play out, you know, his situation will play out itself. I think Burke's going to win that starting point guard spot by default because there's nothing. I don't see Moutier becoming like this stellar cat in 6 to 8 months. And again, Frankie, I'm not a Frank fan, so you know I wish the brother good luck, but I'm not a Frank fan, so you know we'll see, man. Mitchell Robinson is the one cat who I think him and actually Burke is going to elevate this situation to another level. You know, I think you know we'll get 12 to 15 out of Knox. And we'll have a great year, but it's a lot of uncertainty in the way they acquired the talent this time. So, you know, yeah, that's it for me.
All right, that is Mr. Live. Thank you very much. Let's get to Jordan. Mm-hmm. Jordan, what is your thoughts as well? Same question for you. We talk about the rest of the Knicks on this roster, like really deep on this bench on whatever particular role with Vonleh, Hicks, coming back from injury, Kristaps Porzingis, and then the Kadeem Allen, and then you heard Mr. Lai sound off on Mitchell Robinson and Trey Burke. But Jordan, what about your concerns with any of these players in these rotations now that we're in Knicks camp right now? What's your thoughts, Jordan?
Well, I want to say that, you know, with Porzingis, you know, I think the Knicks really need him because when he always gets injured for like so many months and without Porzingis, the Knicks you know really suck. And like the other players may have potential to be good, like the guy that they got in return for Carmelo Anthony and the guy that the Knicks had drafted in the first round of the NBA draft this year, but I don't know. I think I really think that the Knicks really need you know Porzingis the back and when he comes back who knows. And you know I just find that other than Porzingis, I just find that the Knicks really don't really have any veteran leadership on the team, because the Knicks organization, you know, as a whole has just been like triangle offense, especially Phil Jackson was the president of the Knicks, so that their philosophy has always seemed to be triangle offense, but that really hasn't worked for the Knicks. The Knicks really the Knicks really have not had such the good veteran leadership on the team because you have Porzingis, but he always gets injured, and they had Carmelo Anthony, but now that Carmelo is gone, so now that Melo is gone, all their veteran leadership is gone now, and you know it's in much you know much to my dismay, I've been a Knicks fan for so many years, but they've really been a mess for so many years. The only time that I remember the Knicks even being good was back in the 2011 and 2012 season, and 2012 and 2013. Those were the only two seasons in which the Knicks had been doing better than they were doing before.
All right, Jordan, thank you very much on your comments on that. We're going to get to Av, Knickerbocker Avenue, our source for the streets for the Knicks, of course, on Facebook, Twitter, and of course, on Instagram. OmniFan, Knickerbocker Avenue. The topic, of course, rest of the Knicks roster, Vonleh, Hicks, we got Kadeem Allen, Ron Baker, guys like that, whatever roles, if any, and how the guys already sounded off, and gals, as far as sounding off on the Knicks. What's your thoughts, Av, as well? And then we'll transition this dialogue onto the head coach, but Knickerbocker Avenue, what's going on, bro?
What's going on, Steve? Ladies and gentlemen, good evening. I hope you're all excited because, you know, the Knicks are continuing to lip service right now. The Fizdale saying that, you know, that that basically every starting spot is up for grabs. We all know that that's a load of crap. Let's just be realistic. We know pretty much who the starting rotation is going to be. You're going to feature Kanter. You're going to feature Hinzonja. You're going to feature Tim Hardaway Jr. More than likely, you're going with Kevin Knox. The point guard spot is probably the only thing that's up for grabs when it comes to really. So what's really up for grabs after the point guard is like the first three, four spots off, you know, in the rotation. A lot of the guys that you just mentioned, Steve, unfortunately, you know, they're going to be slotted for the D League. Or the G League, I apologize. And I mean, I like what these, you know, the Knicks make up. I like that, you know, that they're somewhat heading in somewhat of a direction. But, you know, it still remains to be seen. Like you said, you know, we're going to talk about the function. It's really what the coach puts forth, you know, instills during these practices, during these scrimmages, during these, this. Take meetings and whatnot, and it'll just have to present itself that way. And, you know, until then, I mean, it's all speculatory at this point. I believe we have enough balance. I agree with Jordan that we don't have. You know, we really don't have any real veteran leadership, but, you know, I think we discussed this a couple of weeks, you know, about a month ago, actually. If you look in the archives of the BleedingBlueShow.com, our old head right now would have been Joakim Noah, but they're planning on releasing him and stretching out his contract. So your next old head really would be Lance Thomas. Nothing against Lance Thomas. Lance Thomas, you know, he works hard. He's improved every year he's been with the Knicks. But let's just be realistic. He's, you know, do you really want him to be the veteran, the voice of reason, the voice to, like, one of the lead vocal leaders of his team in that locker room and on that bench? No, I don't think that's kind of something that anyone would feel comfortable with. But that's just, you know, how things have played out. Despite what the reports are, you know, about Porzingis, I'm not really sold on the idea of Porzingis making it back anytime this season, if at all. I mean, I'm calculating March or April, and by then the Knicks would be complete. Will more than likely be out, you know, outside looking in into the playoff picture and probably be eliminated. But, you know, we try to remain somewhat optimistic. Because it is a new culture again, a new coach again, a new, you know, mindset, a new philosophy all over again. It's kind of, you know, you want to be optimistic because, you know, the front office and the head coach are giving you a lot of great lip service. But for us cynical fans, us, you know, old fans who've been around the block and just like Jordan just mentioned, She brought up the great point. The last time the Knicks were really good, 2011 through 2013. And that's 3 years out of the last, what, 15 or 20, where the Knicks were actually somewhat relevant and in contention of anything except the lottery. So I don't know. I like Vonleh. I like that pickup. I think he can bring a lot of energy off the floor and can contribute. I just don't know what kind of minutes he'll be seeing. You'll probably see some heavy minutes early on, but once that you do have that set rotation, I kind of feel like he could be like the ninth or the tenth man off the bench, and he'll be, you know, if by some godly miracle Porzingis does make it back, he'd be that odd man out. Just my opinion, because I don't see Fizdale benching Lance Thomas. I don't see him benching Tim Hardaway Jr. I don't see him benching Kevin Knox. Given if Knox doesn't, you know, really perform up to the potential that, you know, that the media wants to feed it to, I think he will. But that's kind of how I look at it, you know, going to training camp. So far from the film that I've seen, the different kind of, you know, formations and drills they're running, I'm not seeing anything that's like awe-inspiring or wild yet. We just have to wait till next week when that first preseason game starts and see where it goes from there.
You're absolutely correct, bro. The way I see it, Av, is when it comes down to the drills and the sets that I saw as far as the tape of their practices and the scrimmages. I mean, that's pretty much those guys getting into game shape. So that's nothing new then to anybody as far as getting back putting the real work. As far as Vonleh, Hicks, Porzingis. Let me start with Porzingis real quick. I think I've said it before. He should. There should be no. There's no reason, no rush to really bring him back real quick. I don't really see no logical reason, especially off of ACL with a 7'3" kind of guy. So it doesn't really make sense to me, especially the direction where this team is trying to go, to really rush them back. Because the Knicks need to retain players, even as much as we get on them as far as getting stronger, and which that's probably should be his number one thing, is get stronger. That was our number one complaint. This is the time for him to get stronger in the lower body, work on some lower post moves, a lower post strength, to add to his repertoire again. Because if any issue we've had on this platform is with his dependency of being a perimeter forward as a freak, which could be a blessing and a curse. So that's just on the Porzingis level. Talk about the other guys, like Vonleh. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what happened after him when he left Indiana. You know, like Dom kind of alluded to it with Charlotte, and then he kind of disappeared in Portland. Maybe this is a chance to bring some energy off the bench, but that's kind of wishful thinking with three teams in less than a couple of seasons. So he's, to me, has more energy than Isaiah Hicks. And then if I look at Kadeem Allen, I don't see really no role for him. He's like almost the beneficiary of a fourth point guard if you want to put Nila Kina into the mix. But although I see him more as a two based off how he's played, and that's the issue I kind of have with this depth chart or this roster, because they to kind of make it work in an odd way, Nila Kina has to kind of be a two guard behind Hardaway Jr. And that kind of screws up everything as far as who plays at the point guard position behind them. So you got Burke, you got Moutier. Now, if you want to throw Ron Baker into the mix, I know his salary that we were all kind of killing, and rightfully so, when he came and he's coming off the injury, he might have some of a 10th man off the roll, play some defensive minute type of thing. But I want to transition this to the coach, because this is where it's all going with this lip service. I want to shout out the guys at the LG Gay Group. Shout out to James and all those guys out there. They wanted to, because they brought this topic up to the table as well. See, my thing about this is you got to apply this stuff. It's not about what David Fizdale says. It's really, really sticking to how you're applying it with a plan. And Dominic always reiterates that. Definitely Chandler. And my issue with the Knicks, and I want to go back to you, Av, if you have a question for the stakeholders, as far as David Fizdale, he preaches this defense stuff. He's been saying it all summer. So if you're preaching defense, what kind of strategy are you trying? Are you trying to go three quarters court with this defense, with this personnel? Are you trying to really do it in a half court? Are you switching? I mean, what exactly do they mean? I mean, you're not going to get this off of drills. I mean, you have to have some sort of plan when you're saying defense. So, Adam, that is my question to you. And if you have any questions for the stakeholders, starting with Dominic, how would you, with defense in particular, how would you do it? We know what the coach is saying, but how would you apply it if you are a believer in defense? That's the question for you, Ab, first. And then you could take that and bring that to Dom.
Well, I think you're absolutely right, because you said it. I think that they have to go three-quarters court or go full-on, full-court press on the defensive end, because I think that you have, Burke can play somewhat of D. I mean, he's okay. Baker, whenever he did play, over the last two seasons, had some mismatches where he definitely favored heavily. Milutina, we know, and I agree with Mills on this. And with Fizdale, I think that that Milutina can be an elite defender in this league if he plays his cards right. But in terms of just preaching defense, I want to see that creek, at least at three quarters court. I want to see some, them being able to fight against the pick and roll. I want to see some. Obviously, that's something that we've been harping on for, I don't know what, 5, 6, 7 years now, perimeter defense. And that was something that, that winning team, that 2012-2013, Knicks teams, they had a little bit of that, and they were able to transition a lot of those turnovers into easy buckets, and that's what made them effective. That and them being able to rely so heavily on the three ball. I don't want to see so much of that three ball. I want to see you being able to stop the three ball before you go out and try to take one. I want to see, more challenging shots. I want to see, some clocking up of some passing lanes. I want to see, the boxing one every now and then, and then the next possession switch it up to maybe a man-to-man or a 2-3 zone or something like that. I want to see different schemes, and I want to see them kind of evolve them over time. But, there are a lot of Knicks on this team, Tim Hardaway Jr., Lance Thomas, that have been here during the Woodson days, during the Fisher and the Hornacek days, and defense kind of like started to straight away, heavily, even though that the first day of camp is usually the defense day for some reason over the last 4 years. I want to see the Knicks actually apply, take a couple of, a couple extra chances, and go for the steal. I also want them to really, Milutina is probably the exception. I want to see them, being able to defend the ball one-on-one in certain matchups, because you're going to see a lot of LeBron versus, Kevin Knox. You're going to see a lot of, Steph Curry versus Trey Burke. You're gonna see those kind of matches. A John Wall, for example, or Kyrie Irving, going up against one on one against Moutier, against Burke, against Milutina, and I want to see those guys being able to kind of like hold their own. You're not gonna stop them, but at least hold your own to at least make it a difficult night for them. And I would hope, since we beat this dead horse in the mouth like a billion times, we all know Enes Kanter is a defensive liability. If he can improve that, he can, I would hope that he gained some muscle, that he would able to gain some kind of strength and be able to, stand up against some of these bigger men and being able to be a force down low. It's all dependent on him. But I guess my question for everybody is, it's kind of the same question you just posed to me, is that what kind of a defensive scheme do each of you want to see the Knicks start off, especially during the preseason and into the regular season, the early week? What kind of defensive schemes do you want to see them set up in? What kind of presses do you want to see? So on and so forth.
All right, Dominic, that's Avenue's question. What's your thoughts, Dominic? I think that's a very good question, Av. Go ahead, Dom.
Well, first thing, as I always say, you look back at the NBA over the last few years. Last year, 3-4 teams held the opponent under 100 points. Only a handful of teams scored less than 100 points. So we've been talking, especially I have been talking, that this trend has been taking place. We seem to be lagging behind with the offense over defense. We all understand you got to play defense, and the Knicks' Achilles heel, probably since they got Porzingis, has been perimeter defense. But the thing that's confusing with me when it comes to Fizdale and defense, like, a lot of people want to give him kudos for when he was an assistant at Miami. Now, Miami played that in-your-face brute defense. When he went to Memphis, he fell along with the way they always been in Memphis. Their defense was take the air out the ball. You know, we're going to hold the ball for 22 seconds, so that's going to allow the other team less shots per game. So I don't know which Fizdale we're going to get. Again, Miami Fizdale, Memphis Fizdale, and I understand it goes with the personnel, but you're also the coach, and you should be able to implement, have a plan, have a vision of what you're going to do. He didn't do it at Memphis. Come on, guys, we watched Memphis. Memphis defense was their offense. They held the ball, and then instead of a team getting 50 shots, they probably got 38 shots, just numbers, guys. I ain't saying the exact number, but that was his defensive strategy in Memphis. Unless I'm missing something. But I'm not a big proponent in this. You got to have this. You got to have that. You got to score. You got to score in this NBA. And as Mr. Lyle, I think his name is, my dream right now is to see Trey Burke, Kevin Knox, and Robinson on a fast break. Because that's the NBA. The NBA is agile. The NBA is up and down the court. The NBA is getting shots off. Like I said, 3-4 teams held their opponent under 100 points last year. So I don't think defense – it's. Don't get me wrong, guys. I don't want y'all to think I'm saying don't play no defense at all. But in order to keep up with this new NBA, you better be able to score. It's that simple. And the Knicks got, at least in certain positions, they got the legs to do this. We cannot be – last or fifth last in transition points, no more. Not with the legs that we have. And here comes this Robinson kid. I said this last week or whatever week. He fits into this new NBA. He's agile. He's tall. He can block shots. He can run the court. This is the NBA, fellas. And you know what? At the rate Ntilikina's going, if he keeps growing, we're not going to have to worry about him playing point guard. He'll be playing small forward in a few years. So that ship might have sailed with him. And I always said, I thought his strength would be the off guard. Because even if you get in that pickle where, okay, our point guard isn't that good on defense, we could shade him because we could put Ntilikina on that point guard. And we could also put Ntilikina on that shooting guard. And again, guys, if he keeps growing, he'll be checking the small forward. I just don't think his role is a point guard. I think we beat this to death since he came in the league. But I'm not a big proponent on they have to have a certain type of scheme to play defense. They need to get out there on people. I don't want to hear about the coach with that. We overemphasize this too much. What scheme, what this. You know, there's certain tasks in the NBA that are individual tasks. And the Knicks have failed at perimeter defense, which is an individual task. Get out there and put your hand up. We're not asking you to run after the guy, do some scientific formula. We just want you to get out there and put a hand up. That's an epic fail for the Knicks. And it's been an epic fail for the Knicks over the last 3 or 4 coaches. So you got to look at it where, you know what, guys, we've been through so many different coaches, schemes, plans, and you can't get out there and check your man. No coach is going to make you do that. You got to do that. So I'm more looking for the Knicks to get their offense in order to keep up with this NBA. That's just me, and that's how I've been for a while, guys. I'm sorry.
All right, Av, can you repeat the question for Chandler as well, your question? And then we'll go to Chandler, and then after that, Mr. Love.
My question is, what kind of defensive scheme do you want to see Fizdale implement with these Knicks? Do you want to see like a three quarters court, full court press? Do you want them to go zone, man to man? What kind of things do you want to see in the onset of the preseason and in the regular season from the Knicks, at least for the next, let's say, month?
Without knowing who he's starting, I can't say. Based on who I think is going to wind up starting, I think you're better off in a hybrid zone, because I don't see how you can't start Burke. I don't see how you can't start Frank. I don't see how you can't start Knox. So the nonsense about all the starts, all the spots up for grabs is BS. I don't see how you can't start Cantor. So Cantor is not going to work well in a pressure defense. He's just not. His feet, he's slow of foot. His lateral quickness is not there. So you can't press with him. So you got to have a hybrid zone man where you got guys pressing up, pushing out at the perimeter, and you basically got him sitting there going side to side in the block. But that's if that's your starting lineup. Who's he going to start? Because who he starts is going to determine the scheme. That's, you can't do three quarters with everybody on that team. You can't. You can't do a press with everybody there. Listen, Tim Hardaway Jr. is not a good press defender. He's just not. Enes Kanter is not a good press defender. He's not. Ron Baker is not a good press defender. He's not. Emmanuel Mudiay is not a good press defender. He's long. He should be, but he's not. His basketball IQ is not high. So what I would like to see is a hybrid, and I'd like to see pressure, as Dom said, on the perimeter, where guys are actually guarding players on the perimeter, and they're understanding how to defend the pick and roll and the ball screens. Because we haven't been able to defend a pick and roll or ball screen in 10 years. You know, when to switch, when not to switch. Because we have so many guys who basically are all small forwards playing other positions, you should be able to switch most of the screens and most of the pick and roll. You should be able to switch. But it requires effort, and it requires guys actually going out there and trying. And we still got a lot of guys out there who don't give a lot of effort on defense. So the scheme I want to see is effort on defense. And now with Fizdale saying that he wants Enes Kanter shooting threes, well, you know, that is going to affect how you play defense. Because if Kanter's out there shooting threes, he can't run up and down the court like that. So now you got a long rebound. Guess who's trailing a play now? It's Kanter. So saying they want to play defense sounds good, and it's a great soundbite. But if you actually look at the roster, a three-quarter or a full-court press with the players that we know he's going to give major minutes to is not going to work. So is he really going to leave all the spots up for grabs? No. So you can't do three-quarter. You can't do full-court press. So for me, it's a hybrid man, a hybrid zone.
All right. Av, the same question for Mr. Live.
The question is, what kind of defensive scheme would you like to see on the onset, you know, of the preseason and at least the first month of the season? Do you want to see more of a three-quarters court, full pressure? You want the hybrid zone, like Dom said? You know, what kind of defensive sets do you want to see at least in the onset of this team?
Okay, so again, you know, really chiming off of what Dom has said, man. It's for me, it's personnel. If we're talking about this group playing defense, that means Burke is not picking up anybody full court. That's not going to happen. That means your best defender, who I think would be a great defender in this league, is Frank, and Frank is a liability on offense. And organize. We keep on talking about he keep on talking about Frank organizer. No, he don't. You understand what I'm saying? He's horrible at being a point guard at this level. Okay, but he can pressure somebody full court. He can pressure most of the guards full court. But again, so you're paying THJ, $17 million to do what? Play undersized three? And why did you get Hezonja? You understand what I'm saying? So my thing is, you know, when you talk about defense, you got to have the personnel capable. Okay, you know what I'm saying? We already know, you know what I'm saying, Berg is starting. You know, Hardaway got to start at that too. He has to. You know what I'm saying? Because you went and spent money on Hezonja just so you wouldn't beat up your star player at the four. Okay, so Knox got to start at the three. You got to play small at the four, you know, which means, you know what I'm saying, fast and loose, which is Hezonja undersized at the four. And again, I'm not a Kanter fan. I wouldn't play Kanter, okay, because we've been the worst since he's been here because him plus a slew-footed KP means nobody is running out to the perimeter. You know what I'm saying? And when you check off, nobody has the lateral speed or agility to hold that man. Okay, so our perimeter is shot. But again, this goes back to when we first started this conversation. Who's playing? Okay, and what's the, you know what I'm saying? Are you gonna sit all that money down on the bench so you can give the proper minutes to people like Hezonja, like Knox, like Robinson, who need to be in there playing and who need to be comfortable with each other on those same defensive schemes we're talking about. All the schemes we talk, you know what I'm saying, that we know of in the NBA is predicated on who you're playing anyway, man. So, you know, I got to echo Dom in saying, man, it's I just want to see the effort. You know, he's a Riley guy, so he should play, you know, Riley style a defense, you know what I'm saying, man to man, you know, pick it up full court when they can, and communicate those switches and those cuts. Again, but I'm looking at the personnel and like, you know, you're looking for KP to come back. He's going to be extra slow coming back. Kanter is the worst defender in the league. I don't care what nobody say. I haven't seen Vonleh do a stellar job in any of the places he's been. You know, so again, who's, you know, and I believe it's too soon to give Robinson 80 minutes a game. So, you know, again, man, I'm looking, you know, when he's talking that defense, man, I'm looking for effort, you know, and I'm looking for him to do what he can and not what's politically correct. Okay, sit Kanter down. You're not, you know, Hicks is going to be in the G League. You know, you're not going to play. You're not, you know, you gave Cornette a couple, you know what I'm saying, $1 million for what? Sit him down. You know, you got about eight speed and you got eight players who can actually show off their speed and agility, including Baker. Baker play hard. I can't stand him, but he play hard. So, you know, play who's gonna win you some games, man. Play who's gonna get in these people's faces, man. Even look, man, bring Trier up if somebody ain't making it happen. You know, that's my 2 cents on that.
All right, shout out to Mr. Live. Thank you very much. Ask that same question for Jordan as well.
Jordan, the question is that what kind of defensive scheme would you like to see in the preseason and in the early onset of the regular season? Would you prefer a three-quarters press, a full-court press, a hybrid zone, as Chandler alluded to? Would you like just to work on offense and defense? Not such a big thing, because it seems like that's the one thing that is being preached. So I would like to know your opinion on what kind of defense you would like to see the Knicks utilize and kind of set on in the early onset.
Well, I want to say that I think that the Knicks need to have a lot of you know players guarding the other opponents players and I think to be honest, that especially when Porzingis is around, I think that they've got to build around Porzingis in that sense, where they have a good point guard who can score, and a good shooting guard, because right now, from what I've seen, the Knicks do not have either. The other guy that the Knicks had before that is gone, and he was the worst point guard that the Knicks ever had. And without a point guard, a good point guard and shooting guard, you're not gonna get your team to score. And like the other guy was saying, that's what the Knicks need to do. They need to score.
Go ahead.
So, that's what I think.
All right. Ev, let me really quick, if you want to add on to that, and then I'll follow up, and then we can move on to our pick two. Ev, anything else you'd like to add? Well, actually, Ev, I'll throw you a question on my situation. Three quarters court is just as tough with this personnel, because I don't think most of these guys can cover it. I think you could at times hide it. You could mask it. You could throw like a Nil Aquino off the bench, like Mr. Live said, because I don't see a Hardaway Jr. in that situation. But here's the thing. Once they get beyond half court, let's say, you know, we get the 8-second thing going on. They got to get, you know, you got 16 seconds to move for the opposing team to get in their office, whatever. You could really set pressures. I'm not the biggest fan of always switching, and I know this is what today's NBA has become because of the touch fouls and how they like to communicate. That's how a lot of these assistant coaches brought up to their situation, up into the head coach slots. But ball screens, pick and rolls, cut down the wing threes. The corner threes is going to be tough, especially off of switches. That's the only – it's one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't, if you're playing up against a good team with good ball rotation. There's a lot of good teams, mostly in the West, that are good with ball rotation. And I don't think the Knicks personnel currently constructed could really chase down in the corners, but you could at least get to the elbows with that. So you have a Lance Thomas, if you give him some adequate minutes, if Kevin Knox is somewhat committed. But here's my question to you. What area in particular in the defense, in the half court in particular, that you see that the Knicks can improve on? Because we've been getting killed with opposing three-pointers for years. Last year was a little bit better, but prior years before that was god-awful. We've seen how many times the Knicks give up a million threes, especially off of ball rotation in the corners. What about the elbows? What about ball screens and off of pick-and-roll situations? And what about the ticky-tack fouls that we have to cut down, and especially a guy like Nil Aquino? Used to, you know, I know it was his rookie year, but remember all those touch fouls? We got to slow our roll on that. So I guess what areas did you would like to improve? Not necessarily scheme, as far as what about the discipline part? If you had to pick a two,
I think my biggest thing that I really want to see, and I think you just hit on it, is the perimeter defense. Is at least give, because I think I agree with Diamond Chandler. You really can't have and with Mr. Live, you really don't have a lot of guys who can press guys and pressure guys enough to create, to create some kind of distortion or have teams think on the fly. However, I believe that our bench can, if the rotation is usually it's about 10 or 11 players deep, you know, in the early onset. If you're talking about Nil Aquino coming off the bench and not starting, which is a shame, but it's probably going to happen. You're talking about Moutier. If he's starting, then you don't. Then you got Burke. If he's not starting, he can do something. I mean, just like you said, they can mask it. You're gonna have Mitchell Robinson coming off the bench. You have Lance Thomas, who is an okay defender, and in the power forward spot is pretty much by committee. So, I think the bench can do some of the pressures, some of the presses. If played right, the starting rotation pretty much just has to really improve on that perimeter defense and just alter shots, because it's the worst kept secret of the NBA. The Knicks are horrible at guarding the three. You want to beat the Knicks, score, shit out a lot of threes, and you have a best chance at winning. they won't defend it. But if they can at least do that, cut down on the ticky-tack fouls, like you said, you know, stop trying to cheat, because that's really what's happening, is that, you know, some defenders get a little too fancy. Nikita has done it a couple times, where they get a little too fancy sometimes, and they try to cheat on certain things, and the refs are just, you know, keeping an eyeball directly on it. So it becomes a lot more difficult to get away with. If they can at least mask that and just get over, you know, the basic pick and roll, I think that you know, that's a victory, you know, for the season if the Knicks are able to do that. I just don't know if with the starting rotation that I'm thinking it's going to be Moutier, Hardaway, Knox, and Zonja and Kanter. I don't think you're going to get that with those five guys. That being said, I think that our bench can do that. You have quality guys. You have Isaiah Hicks. You have Vonleh. You have Mitchell Robinson. You have Lance Thomas. You have Trey Burke. You have Ron Baker. You have enough guys there that can at least give the opposition's offense a number of different looks for them not to get too comfortable. And if we still lose that way, okay, you know, so be it. Sometimes our offense is just not there. But at least if they give forth the effort in improving those key crucial things, I think that a lot of the problems, especially like fast breaks, points off turnovers, those things will start to alleviate themselves and kind of level out if they just improve on the simple fundamentals of guarding the perimeter and getting past the screen and roll, and just doing their absolute damnedest to try to alter enough shots. You're not going to get that full 48 minutes. No one does it, as Dom and Chandler have both alluded to. The NBA is just going that way. But they can do enough to at least give themselves somewhat of a fighting chance in every single game, to where you're not getting blown out by 16, 18 points. You're getting beaten by 8 or 9, and at least that's still a step forwards in the right direction.
All right, cool. Ab, thank you very much. We got about 6 minutes left, so let's do our final thoughts. And within your final thoughts, just incorporate your thoughts. We got the Sixers, we got the Jazz. Your quick thoughts on those two teams, Dominic and then Chandler, Mr. Live, and then Jordan and Ab. Final thoughts on those two teams, and then on this episode, as far as we get to the preseason game next week versus the Wizards, so on and so forth. So, Dominic, Sixers and Jazz, what's your thoughts real quick? We've got a couple of minutes, so if you give us about a minute and a half, including your final thoughts.
Sixers, 3-4 seed, they'll get better. They may miss some of the perimeter shooting they have with Ballinelli, believe it or not. But they're primed. Again, in the weak East, they're good for a 3-4 seed. Utah, you know, they're that strange dog. You know, they don't have a big 3-4-5, but they're competitive. They play the game right. They got an up and coming star, good young coach. They'll be. I'm putting them in the playoff. My final thought is I just want to see the Knicks be successful. I think this is the year they could actually make some baby steps and build that going toward the future. You know, saying we're building for the future is great in words, but if you don't show it, then it's just talk. So I got a funny feeling, guys, and I've been saying this, that the Knicks are going to surprise some people this year. I think the youth and the handful of veterans they have, you know, maybe they're as sick as I am of hearing the word tanking. And I think they're going to put forth a good effort this year. A lot's going to depend on Fizdale. You know, will he get out-coached every now and then by the Spoelstras and all them? Yeah, probably. But I want to see progression. I'm not thinking down the road who we're going to get in free agency. I want to see progression, since that's the key word. And the only way to progress is to win. And you know what, guys? As always, I thank you. It's always a great show.
All right, Donardo DP on Twitter. Give him a follow. Thank you very much, Dom. Chandler, your final thoughts? Sixers and Jazz, and then also going into next week.
Jazz, I think, take a step back. I don't think they make the playoffs, or if they do, they barely get in, but I think they take a step back because I just think that was a young team that just kind of caught fire. Now the weight of expectations, I think they take a step back. The Sixers are to me, they are right on the edge of being a dominant team for a long time. I think they're missing one piece, and it's not a huge piece, but I like what they got in Philly because Joel Embiid, if he takes a step to the next level, will be in a conversation for best player in the NBA. That's how much talent that young man has. And Ben Simmons, if he actually can start shooting the ball, they're going to be really, really good for a long time. But I like the Sixers. I can see them as a 3 or 4 seed, absolutely. And I can see them, I can see them being in the Eastern Conference Finals this coming year. With us, I'm tired of Fizdale talking, tired of Kevin Knox talking, I'm tired of people talking. Shut up. Show me something. Period in the story. I'm tired of y'all talking. Now show me something. And the last thing is, how the hell does Tom Thibodeau have a job after the nonsense that he's doing in Minnesota? Thanks a lot for having me on, guys. It's been fun.
At Night Channel 7, thank you very much. Give him a follow as well on social media. And, of course, Gear Drift Podcast on Spreaker, talking veterans benefits, man. Great platform for veterans benefits and a great platform to learn, period, man. Thank you very much, Chandler, on that. Final thoughts from you, Mr. Live, Sixers, Jazz, and also on the Knicks, and then we'll go to Jordan. We got a couple more minutes. So go ahead, Mr. Live, fire away.
Right, right. Okay, so on the Sixers, 2-3 seed, you know, they're built crazy. I mean, just long and athletic, and again, and Embiid will, you know, if he plays all, you know, the whole season healthy, he's dominant. What I do believe with them, though, is they may take a small step back because I don't think Ben Simmons is going to have the year he had last year because all I would do is step back on him. He wouldn't penetrate on my team. I would, like, give him that shot. Whatever shot, don't let him penetrate. That's his whole game. His whole game is done after that. And all you got to do is watch the cuts. Utah takes a step back. I think they're going to look at Mitchell and lock him up, you know, and there's not too many others on there that can create. So I think they take a step back. As far as I'm concerned, I'm excited. I can't wait. I think, you know, again, we have a nucleus of I like Burke. You know what I'm saying? I think Burke is going to be a standout player this year. I like the Knox pick, and I also love Mitchell Robinson, Paul. You know what I'm saying? But as far as we're concerned, all I'm looking for is for us not to tank and for Fizdale to play who he needs to play to win. You know, let's not be politically correct and looking sexy and all that. Play the players that's going to get you the wins. That's plain and simple. That's all I'm looking for. And you know, looking for the preseason the first game of preseason in a little while. So that's what I'm looking for. So again, good night, you guys. It's always a pleasure. Love this show. Bleed blue.
Shout outs to Mr. Live on the check in with us here on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. Thank you very much, Jordan. Your final thoughts as well, and then we'll go to Ad.
Yeah. I really agree that we need to see what kind of Fizdale we see out of the coach because I've heard a lot of good things about Fizdale that he was a really good coach, especially defensively, but I also hear that he was not good and especially defensively in when he was in Memphis. So I heard that he was really horrible. So we have to see which players too, then he will use his to get the Knicks to win and to score, and I just want to see progression for the Knicks as a rebuilding team. I just don't think that Jimmy Butler is going to come to the Knicks. I think that the Knicks are going to stay put with the route that they're going, but I really do hope that maybe they can get Kyrie Irving if he doesn't sign a contract extension with Boston, and I hope that maybe next season they can also get a marquee free agent to complement Kyrie if he does come here, such as Klay Thompson, who is going to be a free agent next season. So I really hope that the Knicks can do better not only as a team but only also in this, as an organization, since they have a new coach and have a new president and that sort of thing.
All right, Jordan, thank you very much for your analysis as well on the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum. We're pretty much out of time, but go ahead and do as much as you can say, and then we'll see how much time we can get. We're pretty much out of time, but your final thoughts, Sixers, Jazz, this episode, next week, OmniFan, all that stuff you want to shout out.
Sure. Sixers, they're a 2 or 3 seed, easy. They do take a step back, but since the Eastern Conference took a whole step backwards, I don't see Philadelphia having a problem. I kind of agree with everything that was said about the Sixers and Joel Embiid. And the Utah Jazz, I think they still make the playoffs. I think they probably make the 7 or 8 seed, because I think some people are probably overestimating a little bit too much on the certain teams that are in the Western Conference. We don't really know what kind of a team that the Lakers are going to be. We don't know what kind of team the Clippers are really going to be. Don't know, you know, Phoenix or any of the Texas teams. So we just had to pretty much wait and see on that one. I think they still kind of make it. They're a young team. They're fun to watch. They play the game the right way, and they're well coached. So I think that, you know, they're still in playoff contention. They're just, you know, I think that if they make it in, they're a 7 or 8. Final thought is that I love the show. I love what I'm doing with OmniFan. You know, being a key contributor. If you haven't gone to, go to theomnifan.com and look to see about purchasing tickets to the Battle of the Boroughs, one of the final preseason games against the Brooklyn Nets at the Madison Square Garden, and the Sweet Life when the Knicks open up the Mecca against Trae Young and the Atlanta Hawks. That should be fun to watch, especially with a bunch of, you know, crazy Knicks fans, you know, who all love the game, who all love the Knicks, and will support it, you know, through thick and thin.
Av dropped. Shout out to Knickerbocker Avenue. He's going to say Knickerbocker Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and also Instagram. I'm going to say this: Sixers are 3 seed at worst. I'll say the Jazz is around 6 or maybe 7. And then as far as the Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, shout-outs to Dominic, Chandler, Mr. Live, Jordan. Av will be back next Wednesday. We're going to have some live game action. This episode is going to be on BleedBlueShow.com. You can stream it right from the website, right there from your smartphone devices. Or you could download it on the go, iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and Stitcher apps. So I'm going to ask you, ladies and gentlemen, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep blue, 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 bleep blue.